Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
You bastard!
All right. We'll describe that later. Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Joe.
And
today, we're going to be reviewing the film Challengers. Full spoilers ahead for that. Zooming from our extreme long shot into our medium shot now. Tell me, Ryan, what was your anticipation level going into this film?
Sorry, I got really distracted because I haven't opened up this tennis racket in forever and the grip is really sticky. Like there's hockey. It feels like it's wet hockey tape or something all over it. Anyway, my anticipation for this, look at my hands. They're covered in crap. That's so gross. Anyway, I'm going to talk while trying to clean my hands. My anticipation for this movie was like, so I saw the first trailer when it came out, it was all over the internet and I was like, oh, this is cool. It's going to be like a fun Zendaya movie. Everyone on the internet's talking about it, especially all the preteens are like, oh, Tom Holland's girlfriend's fucking two dudes in a movie. He must be so jealous. But I was like, nah, Zendaya's a very talented actor. I love Josh O'Connor from, The Crown and some of the other stuff he's done when he was younger. I didn't know Mike, was it Viziat?
Mike Feist.
Feist?
Feist?
Whatever, the guy who played Art. Feist? Mike Feist? Apparently he was in the original cast recording for Dear Evan Hansen. So he's got a musical background as well. And the first trailer just really drew me in. They played like a Rihanna song throughout the entire trailer. So I was like, ooh, good trailer. I might actually check this out. And then that's basically it. Nothing other than just my first thoughts and feelings about the trailer that drove me into the movie. But yeah, other than that.
Oh, so that's where I know. Okay, I just clicked on Mike Feist's face and he was Riff in West Side Story. That's Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. That's where I know him from. I knew I recognized his face. I couldn't place it, yes, though.
Oh, yes, he was in that. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I had the exact opposite reaction to you. I saw that first trailer and thought, oh, Lord, I do not want to see this. This looks awful. For basically all the same reasons you describe wanting to see it, I was very turned off by that first trailer. I'm like, this looks very much not for me. And the only reason I did go and see this film is because about a week after it came out, Ryan texts me and he says, Challengers is so good. We should do a podcast episode on it. And I thought, okay, I'll see it, I guess. And then we're here today to talk about it. So was your hype level met? Was mine exceeded?
Well, I didn't really have much hype. As more just like
the level
intrigue,
was met. Yeah,
I guess
the
I should
intrigue
say
intrigue level met.
Yeah, it was like it was mid, but then my hype level was mid, but then I was hearing really good things about it, and then I saw it and I was like, oh wow, this is just a good movie. So it kind of went over my expectations personally.
My expectations were rock bottom, and I came out really enjoying it. I thought it was very well done. Because I kind of remembered the first trailer. I saw it months ago. And, well, you and I just did a whole episode recently on why movie advertising sucks. You're judging a book by the cover, and that cover isn't always very appealing. But it doesn't mean the inside of the book is valueless. It just means the advertising campaign was not that great. I don't think it did the movie justice for how complex it actually gets. It just made it look like a stupid, shallow romance movie where, oh, Zendaya plays these two guys off each other. Ooh, and that's about as far as it goes. But the trailers that I saw never hinted towards the deep psychological manipulation that was going on. the tennis.
Yeah, I agree with that. On like especially with the second trailer they released, it was kind of just a worse version of the first trailer. So I was just like, okay, is this just going to be a shitty like rom-com or not even comedy or romantic drama? That was one of the surprising factors for me when coming out of this movie was just like the subtle manipulation between not just Toshi with the two guys, but with all of them, really. It's funny because I think Zendaya herself said something in press comments like, if you see this movie three times, you could come out with a different perspective like each time. Like you could see it from Art's point of view, from Patrick's point of view, or Tashi's point of view. And I agree with her. I think it's a really complex but easy to understand story where you could take anyone's side.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was especially impressed with the writing and the plot and the dialogue in this movie. There's a lot of great lines in here. A lot of quotable things, and the plot is really well executed as well. Like I said, this could have just been super shallow, but every character is strongly motivated. You understand their goals from beginning to end and how those goals conflict with each other. And okay, like Toshi and Patrick have a thing, but Art's got a stake in their relationship falling apart, but he doesn't want his relationship with Patrick to fall apart. But Patrick, I love that, the nuance to it, where Patrick was like, oh, you're trying to break us up. That's cute. I like this side of you. Even just, so it wasn't just automatically, oh, you're trying to break us up, I hate you. Like there was, no, we're still friends, and we're both playing a game here for this girl's affections, and we both know what side we're on. We're going to screw each other over, but there's a certain level of friendly competition, at least at first, before it starts getting more intense and actively messing up their lives. But my favorite aspect, I think, of the plotting of this movie was how they basically set up a mystery at the beginning. They start the movie with this tennis match between Patrick and Art with no context. We just see a visual cue of they're both looking to Zendaya, and Zendaya looks more at Art in the first bit. So I'm like, okay, well, just based on the trailer, these are the two guys that she fell in love with, but she picked Art, clearly. And then we get the flashbacks to how their story all unfolds and cut towards the present as well. And you just, like, you, every question you have, the beginning sets you up with a whole lot of questions, which it effectively unravels as the movie goes. And they doled it out at a perfect length, I thought. So that by the very end.
Yeah, I thought the story.
The third act. Yeah, I was just. Sorry, by the end, the third act, when they're actually about to finish the tennis match, the stakes have been fully built. You understand what everyone in this situation has to gain and to lose, and you're invested in all the characters and their motivations, and you're kind of equally rooting for everybody by this point. And it had me on the edge of my seat. Oh, who's going to win? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I fully agree. I think it was told exceptionally well and written fantastically, especially with the dialogue. I don't think I've heard such natural dialogue in a movie in years. And I loved every minute of it, especially that like the scene between Toshi and Patrick when they're in the dorm room. And they're making out, and she's trying to like coach him. And he's like, well, I don't need you to coach me. That, and then that slow progression into a fight was so natural that it made me so uncomfortable.
Just my favorite bit of that scene.
It's too real. Both actors are phenomenal. Yeah,
my favorite bit of that scene was this one line where she's on top of him and he's like, can we not talk about tennis? And she's saying, like, well, no, everything's about tennis. And she says, You always think you win before the match is over. She's telling him what she thinks are his flaws back at him. And that made me realize what she was doing. Just the idea of you always think you win before the match is over. I'm like, oh, that she's saying just because you're dating me now and you won that first match against Art, the battle's not over between you two. I'm still playing you two off. You're just with me now. You think you're winning because yeah. You're with me now, but it's not the end. You need to know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tashi's whole like persona is tennis and just the battle between who's winning. Like that's her entire life. And I think she likes to play both sides a lot of the time. Even when she's older, even if she's like, spoiler alert for the movie, even when she's with Art, married to him and has a kid, she still feels like a connection with Patrick and also just playing both sides. I think she thrives off of that conflict.
Yeah,
that's why by the end where it's like the final point, she lets out her like iconic scream, the come on, like she did in the like beginning of Act One with her first match. She's finally excited about seeing some real tennis. And it's an interesting character study or just character creation throughout all the entire movie with all three of them. And I think it's done well. I also loved the humor in this as
well. Good humor, too.
I love it wasn't afraid to, like, poke fun at the adult humor as well or not make it cheesy, but make it, like, again, it's just natural. The word natural is going to come up a lot in this movie. Or in this review, but just the natural jokiness between the two. I fully believe that Patrick and Art have been friends since they were like 12. Just, I don't know what it is. Just the chemistry of all three of them is phenomenal.
I think one of my favorite dialogue scenes was that scene in the dorm room between the three of them where Patrick's trying to embarrass Art. And he's like, oh yeah, I taught him how to jerk off, you know, and they're just describing that story for Tashi. That was like, and I just love the little acting moment that felt once again so real where like Mike Faced has his face in his shirt trying to hide himself. I'm like, oh, this feels way too real. Like been in awkward situations like this where your friend's just throwing you under the bus and all you can do is just, because like I'm passive like that too, where I'm just like, okay, I'll just hide my face and not say anything as the story's going. I'm not going to ruin my friend's moment, even though they're embarrassing me in front of the girl I like. But that scene was also, that's when I started to notice that the camera work was really good too. Well, the camera work, I mean, actually is a separate thing, but in terms of framing the scene, the blocking of this movie, whenever Art, Tashi, and Patrick are all in a scene together, Tashi's basically always framed between Art and Patrick. Even in the...
Yes.
Like, it's obvious enough in the first scene, but that's because, oh, well, you know, they're obviously on different sides of the court, and of course she's in the middle watching. That just makes practical sense. But as the movie goes, it's more and more obvious that they're looking for ways to stick her in the middle. And it's interesting because Patrick and Art are basically always on the same side. Like, it's usually, it's like in a triangle formation. Tashi is usually further off. Like, Patrick and Art are closer together, but Tashi's between them. So the blocking of most scenes is a great visual metaphor for all their relationships and how those dynamics play out. Just, I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, it's very well done, just the whole camera work and the blocking with everything. Especially with going back to that scene in Tashi's dorm room with the just Pat, like that whole fight, that's all one take.
Yeah.
And just how they were able to do that all in one take is really well done. And even the like the quiet moments, I think, are done very well with Tashi and Art when they're practicing after her recovery or after her surgery, and she's like, stop being a fucking wimp, like actually play tennis against me. The shot is so far away from both of them. Like you're in the center court on the flip, like both sides throughout the scene. And I just subtextually, I think that tells a brings out the scene emotion more, because it's not only you're saying yourself far apart from both characters, but it's just how far those two are from each other still, yeah. Even though Art wants to be close with her, but just like emotionally, they're not all there. And the only time she really is emotionally vulnerable is when she's by herself up against a tree. And even then she's still not like letting it out. So just, yeah, the cinematography in this movie is very well done. How'd you feel about the techno music?
The techno music was... Look, it's not my style. I'm not going to be jamming out to this soundtrack, but I think it worked for the movie. What I liked about it was the way it was incorporated, because to me, that music basically always signaled the game is on. Even if it was a game on the tennis courts or a verbal back and forth banter that was starting to get important or heated decidedly, the music came in. So to me, I liked what the music represented. This is a signal of, okay, here we go. Real tennis is starting, metaphorically.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The one part when I first saw it was when they were in the steam room, mm-hmm. Art and Patrick. And then halfway through their argument, again, there was great dialogue. Halfway through their argument, the techno music came on. And I was like, that's a really strange choice to just have that techno music play. Because, and then it just caught me off guard. I stopped listening for like 5 seconds. I was like, oh, now I don't know who's winning. And then later on when they're playing tennis, like the final point, that same, I think the same theme plays again. When there, it's like the perspective is the ball itself. And then I started to think about it a couple days later. It's like, oh, that's just like what you said, is this is when the game's on. This is when they're both at their best. This is when you're seeing real tennis. So at first I was like, that's such a weird choice. I don't like that. But now looking back on it, it's like, oh, this is just both of them taking shots back and forth at their best. And it's a bold choice and a pretty good one.
I couldn't figure out what the choir music was for, though. Like, there was the techno music, and then there was a lot of choir music.
Choir music?
It didn't crop up near as much, but it sounded like... Actually, I even noticed in the credits it did say something about a choir, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there was a choir playing, just vocals. I never noticed a pattern with that, but yeah, that was the second most prevalent type of, like, there was the techno music and there was the choir music, and I noticed the pattern with the techno. But
yeah, I honestly don't remember the choir music.
It was less memorable,
so I can't really give a note on that. One thing that really stood out to me, and it's a small minute detail, but I love it so much. It's when Art and Tashi are having lunch in the cafeteria and they both have Gatorade bottles, but it's the like Gatorade bottles from like 2013 or whenever went. And just like my nostalgia hit, I was like, oh, it's the Gatorade that I grew up with, like the lightning bolt and just the Gatorade around it. So I was like, it's a really good detail, and it just made me nostalgic. It was like, oh, wow, they got that right. Like, all the product placement in this is a lot, but it makes sense for, you know, the status of these three people, you know, rich tennis players. I'm sure the Stanford set was fit to look the same it did in 2013 or whatever year they went to Stanford.
2006.
I think it was 2013 or something
like
that.
They went to Stanford in 06, I think. Or maybe it was 06? Later. I don't remember.
That's crazy.
The timeline's getting jumbled up now.
Yeah, they go back and forth, and they're like, 2 months later, it's like, well, now I'm lost. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, I remember seeing that Gatorade bottle, and be like, oh,
mind
that's
you,
crazy.
I think the editing so kept good. Things reasonably consistent. I wasn't super lost. They made a smart choice of basically always keeping... I mean, there were technically three different timelines. There was the most present timeline of Art and Patrick playing their game at the very end of the movie, the third act match. And then you had the present day storyline where Art and Tashi are preparing for this match and Patrick is as well. And that kind of plays out on a track. And then there's the past timeline where... the three of them all start their relationship in the first place, but all three of those timelines played in chronological order once they were set up. So that helped.
Yes.
It didn't just randomly jump back and forth. I'm like, okay, so there's three different timelines. I understand this. And they're all playing in chronological order. So I get it now. And even when they were doing jump aheads in those, they had nice little subtitles that was like, okay, so we're still in the past timeline, but 2 days after the last thing we saw. Okay. Helpful.
Yeah, no, the editing did a very good job of keeping things cohesive and understanding each specific timeline. I don't think I was ever truly lost. When something, I think just my brain, okay, we're in timeline number three.
Yes.
And then it was just that simple. Also, the hairstyles helped a lot.
Patrick's hairstyle specifically.
Yeah. I love to make, I love when they try to make Art look younger. They just put a cap on him. It's like the classic, how do you make someone look younger in a movie? Put a baseball cap and curl up his hair. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah.
I'm guessing that was a...
And then Zendaya, they just chop half her hair off. So,
yeah, the hairstyles were pretty key factor for telling as well. I thought the hair and makeup,
Patrick's
and makeup
beard
was pretty good there. I think that the hairstyles actually did make them look younger when they showed Patrick and Art and Art the first time when they were young. I'm like, who are these guys? Did they get different actors? Oh crap! No, that's They just, they just really look younger with those hairstyles.
Did they shoot this 6 years ago?
The first time they cut back, I actually got confused. Until I looked closer at their faces, I'm like, oh, I'm just bad with faces. But I knew this.
Yeah. And you like take a closer look like, no, the wrinkles are still there. So no offense to those actors, but we all, I got wrinkles. Like, we all get wrinkles when we're older, but.
I also like the detail, the Tashi.
It was
the Tashi
pretty
always
jarring.
Wore her cross necklace, because I was watching out for that. I'm like, okay, where's the, like, was she going to wear the cross necklace in the previous timeline too? And she was from the first time they met her. Because in the present timeline, she has her cross necklace and I think her wedding ring. Like, that was kind of just a look she had consistently, and I noticed that little stuff. So she's been consistent.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking at the cross necklace. I was looking at her face most of the time. Because Zendaya's like facial acting is so good. Especially when it's, my favorite is when it's Patrick and Tashi in the alleyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I want you to be my coach. And she's just like, she looks like she's about to snap. It's so good. Just her reactions to everything is so well
done. Well, that's one of the... Tashi's a huge hypocrite, right? Because she acts like, oh, well, how dare you make this offer to me? But I think she was considering it on some level. I mean, she went to sleep with him
sure.
like the next night.
Yeah.
So she acts like, oh, well, I'm married and I'm better than you. But she keeps talking to him. She sought him out that time.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of... Yeah, very true. Well, I think it's just also just kind of like a connection she still has to Patrick because he was there, I guess, technically first, like, even though they all kind of started together at first, but she ended up with him for a little bit first and then went to Art. So there is that kind of like connection to her. Like, she knows Patrick is bad news. She knows he's going to ruin like the marriage, or whatever, but there's something that's drawing
I can tell
her
you
towards
what.
Him. And she knows, and from my perspective, I think Tashi knows, like, who she is. She knows she's this very powerful, like, influential woman in sports and media and whatever, but I think she also knows that her having sex with either Art or Patrick is, it's good for her, fun for her, but it's also can be used as, like, a weapon to use against either of them. So I think that's my perspective
on it. Well, what I think about that is... That's why she's more attracted to Patrick, because Patrick is more her equal on an emotional level. He fights. She tries to push him. He fights back. She can't manipulate him as readily as Art. So to her, that's like, ooh, he's a challenge. That's what attracts me to him. But also he challenges me, so that pisses me off. Meanwhile, Art, he's a doormat. He's really easy to emotionally manipulate. Ooh, I get my way with him. That's attractive. Oh, he's way too easy to manipulate. That's a turnoff. So that's why she kind of bounces back and forth between the two guys, because they both give her something she wants, and she hates the other, but she also hates that it's so easy or too hard, depending on the guy. There's not a happy medium.
Yeah, there's no like perfect like world they can live in, all three of them, unless you like, it's funny because I have some polygamous friends and I've talked to them about it and they were like, why don't they all just get married? Or like, they all just fuck each other and just be a simple
world. Was that one scene I thought that was going to happen.
And then we talked, I know, that's what all the trailers were about. And then it's like, oh, they're just making out. Boring.
I thought it was, anyway. I like that power move though, when she dipped out of the way. And then just lets the guys make out for a bit.
Yeah, it was.
And she just has this look on her face like,
And then she's like, okay, I'm leaving.
She just has this look on her face like, wow, I'm so powerful. Yeah. I can make you do whatever I want.
And she did. And she did.
So.
I'd probably say, if we are going to get into gripes, I would probably say Art is my least favorite of the three in terms of like a whole character thing. Cause I agree with you. He is basically just a doormat for Tashi the whole time. And I don't really feel like he doesn't really have a drive to even win Tashi besides the fact that, he loves her. And we got that from the past, but then you get to the present version of Art. It's like, oh, I want to retire even before we get to the US Open because I've just lost that drive. So then immediately my brain's like, okay, why am I cheering for you then?
Well, at this point, like, I'm cheering.
I don't see myself cheering for Art besides the fact that they're married.
At this point, I'm cheering for him to gain his independence from her. To be like, I do not like tennis anymore. I want to retire. It's like Patrick said, he wants to enjoy cheeseburgers again and spend time with his daughter. And his drive isn't in tennis, but he's so emotionally whipped by Tashi that he isn't making his own decisions in his best interest anymore. So by that point in the story, I'm fighting for Art's independence, for him to have the guts to say, no, I don't want to do tennis anymore. And let's acknowledge you're probably going to leave me for that. I'd like to think my marriage is solid enough that it can survive me not doing tennis, crazy as that sounds. But we both know you're probably going to leave me. And I feel obligated to stay in tennis because of that. So when Art tells her, finally, I don't want to do tennis anymore, it's him taking a bit of his independence back and saying, okay, I'm willing to let you go for my greater good at that point. And that's where I root for him, because he's a doormat the entire movie, and that's the first time he actually stands up for himself in any meaningful capacity, knowing the consequence. If he quits tennis, he loses her. Which is something he's so desperate not to happen, but he knows it's a possibility and he's prepared for it now. He's not gaslighting himself into believing that she loves him for him. She loves him because tennis.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't find that part of his story relatable in a type of way, maybe because I'm not in that situation at all. It's just hard for me to sort of grasp it, but it is an interesting way. I'm not saying that it's bad, but I feel like it's definitely the weaker of the characters, in my opinion. But I still enjoy Art, and
my biggest
Mike Faye, I don't know how to say his name. I think he's still a fantastic actor, especially in this movie.
My big problem with the movie was the third act. That's where it all started to drag out for me. I'm like, do we have to have so many slow-mo shots in this final?
Oh, the slow motion was like 10 minutes.
I'm like, I'm watching a Zack Snyder movie in the last
slow motion
act here.
Was crazy.
Yeah. There was that one shot of Pat.
It's almost worse than
there
a
was that
Zack
one
Snyder
shot
movie.
Of Patrick just bouncing the ball. I swear that went on for 5 minutes.
Felt for like a minute.
It's just him bouncing the ball and looking in the stand. It was insane. And there's no camera movements. It's just him in slow mo bouncing the ball. I'm like, I get it. I got the buildup of tension like half a minute ago, and now we're just dragging out. So I thought the third act. Oh, and then even before that, like, okay, you built up the stakes perfectly. Art knows that Tashi's gonna leave him if he loses this match or quits tennis. Great. Patrick agreed to Tashi that he's probably gonna throw the match, or maybe he won't. And if he beats Art, then he'll get a chance to be a qualifier for the US Open. Great. He's doing what he wants. Tashi, we know that she stands to lose both guys right now. She's sleeping with Patrick. She kind of threw away her marriage there if Art ever found out. And she gave an ultimatum to Art, effectively. So she's in a really bad position with both guys. So the outcome of this match is important to her. But it was that whole bit when she was with Patrick, I think, that was dragging the third act out. I'm like, I already understood where you're emotionally at here. And then there's this whole detour where you're going and sleeping with Patrick. And I'm like, oh, I just want to see the match and be done. I get, like, I got where the stakes were already at that point. And you're still going. Not that they were bad scenes.
Yeah.
But it was the pacing issue.
No, they weren't bad scenes. It was just like a, like, oh my God, I know we're at the end.
Exactly.
Just end. Like, it felt like that. And I feel like, yeah, they could have taken or just, you know, kept the same frame rate for those slow-mo shots. Or maybe taking out one of the times she hooked up with Patrick.
Time in Atlanta.
Like, there was the night before hookup, yeah. Which I... And then the one in
Atlanta.
Phoenix or the... Atlanta, yeah. The one in Atlanta where it's like, oh, Art sees him at the table and then they sneak off.
Yeah.
And, like, that probably could have been taken out because they both sort of tell the same thing. It's like, oh, Tashi's unfaithful to Art and is still hooking up with Patrick.
And she did it again.
So it's just like, maybe the Atlanta one could have just been gone. Yeah, so it's like, oh, she did it again.
Less impactful. Whoops. The second time.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like, I won't say like all the slow motion is bad because I do like the slow motion when you see Patrick's thoughts of like, okay, do I throw this? Do I not throw this? What do I do? Art's still my friend. He's been my friend forever. I'm going to tell him I slept with his wife. And then he does the callback with the tennis racket and the signal that they were talking
about.
I was about
to be so pissed watching that. I was waiting for it the entire game. I'm like, when is he going to do the signal? Do the signal. Do it. Do it.
I knew he was going to do
it,
yeah.
They didn't set that up for nothing, right? That was foreshadowing for right now, right? Please, please. The writers aren't stupid.
You were waiting for
yeah,
Chekhov's
exactly.
Gun there.
I'm like, I don't think the production team is that stupid. They're just going to let that slide. I know they mentioned it like an hour ago in the movie. It was one scene an hour ago, but it needs to pay off right here, please. They have a signal for this exact situation.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. It was beautifully well. And then you cut out it. You cut out of the slow mo, and he just goes, "Fuck off." That was really funny.
Was that did that happen in the first
ref?
Act? Because I feel like we got that the fuck off moment with Art in the first act, and that's when or was that a separate incident?
No, Patrick swore at the ref. Like in between act two or whatever. And then he got like
the point
deduction, but Art never really like said anything bad until. So there have been like point deduct. This is a good movie to sort of learn tennis. If you didn't know, like I knew some tennis. I didn't know all the rules. I didn't know you weren't allowed to swear, which, you know, not a good sport for me being a hockey guy. But yeah. For those who don't know, it's ingrained in the culture, but yeah. It's pretty funny seeing like the whole match throughout the whole movie and then seeing sort of like Patrick's game being messy at first and then Art being so clean and refined, and then seeing those kind of meld together as they're sort of playing the same, both at their best. And just Art's fuck off was so funny. And he's like, point deduction. I don't know. I just found the ref to be really funny. The ref was
good comic relief. But I wanted to say, speaking of meltdowns, I think Art, Tashi, and Patrick all smashed one racket each in this movie, come to think of it. They all had a meltdown where they bashed the racket to pieces. Which is good.
Yeah. Well, that's very much ingrained in tennis culture, I'm pretty sure. It's like you just have to smash a racket.
You can't swear, so you have to take it out on the racket.
Yeah. Looks like fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
All right. I gotta praise the acting in this movie, because I think despite all the other filmmaking elements, this movie rests on the shoulders of its three lead actors, Zendaya, Mike Faist, and Josh O'Connor. And their chemistry is undeniable. I think they're exceptional in every dialogue scene, exceptional the three of them together when they are together. They bring the, like I said, the subtle little moments, like, oh, that time, like, Art's hiding in his shirt. Or even, like, the first time Patrick and Art win, like, they're jumping in each other's arms. And, like, just, like, the physicality of them. Like, it's something I don't see often enough. I feel like, after seeing this movie, I feel like a lot of actors are very stilted and like, ooh, I'm going to keep a healthy distance from my acting partners and not touch you. But all three of these characters had a refreshing intimacy to them. They all got really close to each other and, you know, made a lot of physical contact just casually. And it just felt like, oh, this is weird for some reason. It shouldn't be, but like in a good way. That's, I don't see that often enough in movies where characters are supposed to be close friends.
The chemistry is off so good. The charts in this movie. It's phenomenal. Not even like just take Zendaya out of the picture. Mike and Josh are, I believe them. Like 100%. I believe that they're best friends growing up. I believe that they knew each other since they were kids. It's phenomenal. I love the acting in this movie. If there was an award for best trio or best chemistry in a movie, I think it should go to these three, no problem. I think Josh O'Connor steals every scene that he's in, especially his first scene besides like the tennis match when he's flirting with the hotel
about his
stewardess.
I
think that's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really funny. Yeah, just the acting is absolutely phenomenal. Just even the little moments too, where they switch up their emotions, where it goes from like a casual scene to just all of a sudden it's an outburst. And it's not even just the acting, it's the dialogue that's helping it as well. It's the direction as well. It's allowing the actors to actually act with these, you know, longer takes, or, you know, allowing you to actually breathe in the acting or take in the emotions of each character. It's just all done spectacularly. It's probably the best acted movie I've seen this year.
So far?
So far.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dune was really good.
Haven't seen the Fall Guy yet, but
I'm going to talk about Fall Guy on next episode's Leisure List. I quite enjoyed that one.
Yay.
Yeah, well, I lost my train of thought there. Something about the acting, I was going to say. Yeah, I think acting, Mike Faist and Josh O'Connor had amazing chemistry enough that I was like, forget Tashi. Neither of you deserve her. You deserve to be together. Best friends forever.
Yeah, they should just bang each other.
Yeah, it's a... And I like Tashi's disbelief. Like, what, you guys haven't? You aren't together? I don't want to be a homewrecker. Too late.
She admitted it later.
I'm pretty sure she told one of them, like, oh yeah, I was a homewrecker.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think she told Patrick, from what I can recall.
Yeah, and that's why I love the end when Patrick gave Art the signal and then Art kind of has that moment of catharsis, like, oh, yeah, maybe life won't be so bad without her. And then he throws the game to catch Art from the fall. He could have hit the ball, yeah, but he chose to catch his friend instead. Just, and I like, even though Tashi yells her, you know, come on at the end, like, it, like, Art won, good for her, such a great game of tennis. I'm like, yeah, but you lost and you don't realize it yet.
Yeah, it's a great moment to end the movie on. I'm just like, oh, Art won. Well, it's funny because, like, if you do a deep dive into, like, the ending of this movie, you'll just read all the comments. You'll hear from, like, different tennis people. It's like, well, Patrick won because technically he hit over the net, and it's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, all this, like, little stuff of who actually won. But, like, the actual game itself is not what mattered. It's the relationship battle. And it's, you finally see Patrick and Art embrace each other one more time in a different way. I mean, they could have made out on the court. I wouldn't have mind. And then you see Tashi be like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, finally got to see some good tennis between the two of you. And just like you said, she just hasn't realized that she is the one who lost this match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was well done. I'm glad it ended on that note of just the two friends hugging. Surprisingly great movie.
Really good ending there.
I thought it was just going to be a good time.
See, I
had
also
a great
really
time.
Impressed by the camera work and cinematography. The shots all looked so clean in this movie.
Yeah.
Just even from the opening shot, I'm like, okay, well, this is a color grading thing. But I'm like, the colors are striking. They pop. They look really good. The camera work, there was a lot of really cool shots on the court, off the court. Like, there were shots beneath the court. There was, like, camera dripping, like, sweat dripping on the camera.
I personally hated that shot. Not from a filmmaking standpoint, but a personal standpoint. I don't want to see someone sweating on me. No.
All right.
No, thank you. But it got a reaction, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah, I just think the camera movements were just really cool. Some of the stuff they did on the court. And the cinematography, like I said, all the shots just look so clean. I was especially impressed by that one shot of Patrick sleeping in his car. And I'm like, even the nighttime shots look fantastic. There's no grain on the screen or looks, it's clean. I don't know when's the last time I've seen a movie so consistently well lit. Like, it's the lighting, mostly, to be clear. The camera work, as I said, is good, but the lighting was spot on for basically every scene. Like, maybe if I'm being nitpicky, sure, I could have used more shadows or something. Fine, get a little more traditional cinematography, use light and shadow differently. But, like, in terms of, like, everything is super well lit in a way that didn't make it look like a TV commercial. It still looks cinematic, but good. The visual style of this film really appealed to me.
Yeah, I love the color grading in this. I love the unique shots of tennis too. Like, when they cut back to the Art versus Patrick match, there's always a different way that they shoot it. It's never the same angle from the tennis match. It's always a unique way. One of the ones that stood out to me, I just kind of reminded myself of, is when the camera perspective is under the court and you sort of, like, the green is clear and you can see under the field. It's like, wow, what an interesting shot. How the fuck did they do that? But and also, I don't want to know. I can think practically in my head how they did it, but it's just like, man, the director for this, Luca Guadagnino, who did Call Me By Your Name, just, he's got such an amazing vision for filmmaking, and
I also like that one shot where, I don't know if it was CGI or a GoPro, but, like, there was, like, the point of view shot from the tennis ball going back and forth. It's like it zooms in and whoop, Art hits it, and then we have a fast cut towards the ball going to Patrick, and then he hits it, and it's just, like, the editing and the camera shooting back across the court. That was really well done. Help, kinetic.
Yeah. That was pretty funny, because it was, like, my first thought when seeing it was like, oh yeah, we haven't gone up from the ball perspective yet. That's like the one that they didn't put on the check mark yet, but I was like, oh fuck, here we go, here's some real tennis. And that's what I felt when watching it, like, in terms of story. But yeah, so such an amazing camera work, everything. Yeah, I don't know. More praise than none. I thought that would be the opposite coming out, but surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I just had a couple issues with the pacing, and but that was really about it. The pacing, yeah. And Tashi pissed me off. I don't really root for her, but she's fascinating to watch.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think inherently she's a toxic person, but she's just fun. Yeah, she's fun to watch because you're rooting for really Art and Patrick and their friendship. And here's this person that they've both allowed into their lives, but she's playing both sides of the field. I think she's a great
antagonist. I like one little visual metaphor.
But unlike underneath it, she knows like what she's doing, and she both enjoys it and hates it at the same
time. I like
some
subtle things that showed how much she changed Art. Like there was one scene, I think it was early in the movie, so I didn't really catch it, where like Art always chews gum, right? That's another character quirk of his. So he's always chewing gum, and in the present storyline before his match, he spits out the gum in Natashi's hand, and then he goes off and does the match. And then later on in the movie, he spit the gum out, like in the previous timeline, he spits the gum out into Patrick's hand. Like, oh, that was what Patrick used to do for him. Tashi replaced him that way. And another thing I noticed was the first time they all met, Patrick was like, oh, you wanna go out for a smoke? No, I don't smoke. But Art did. Art was smoking with Patrick there. And later in the movie, he never smokes at all. In the present timeline, like, well, she changed that.
Yeah.
And also, I noticed this very early on in the movie, like in the first couple scenes, but like, I noticed Art was doing all the tennis stuff and Tashi was doing all the talking. And it was like 5 minutes into the movie, just before Art said his first line. I'm like, has he said a word yet? He hasn't talked at all yet, has he? She's done all the talking for, oh, okay, I get the relationship dynamic here. Like before he even said it, I realized, wait, he hasn't spoken for himself once yet. Okay, cool. Yeah. That was subtle. Good on you. I caught it. So just the writing, the cinematography, the, I guess, action for tennis, if you could call it that, action. It's all really well done. The acting, exceptional. I thought this was a really good movie. Didn't love it, but I really appreciate it for its biggest strengths.
I did love it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, when it comes to loving things, it's just like a gut vibe. Like the critic in me, the best I can say is like,
right,
really good. But it, when it comes to like loving things or going over the top, like that's just more of a gut feeling. So I didn't love it on a gut level, but the critic in me says really, really good.
Well, I think, yeah, and that's fair. But I think what puts me over the loving it is that this is such a actor's movie. Like it's quite an amazing like actor study or character study into all three of the characters. And so I come from that background. Yep. I would say more than just like behind the camera's background as well. So that's what makes me love it, is just seeing the characters and seeing all the actors' chemistry and how believable the story is. Yeah. And yeah, I love it. And I agree with you on all the technical takes that you had with the pacing and all that. But I just think what puts it over the top for me is the acting.
Yeah. My top two, I think I talked about this on the other episode of Close Up, but usually my scale is all based on feeling for reviews. My bottom review is don't bother. I'm like, there's not much redeeming here. My next up is if you're bored, it's okay, it's something you can throw on once, whatever, but like don't really pay attention to it. It's not that good. Worth a watch is like, yeah, I do recommend it for a watch. You'll probably never see it again. Pretty good. Pretty darn good is yeah, this was solid. It's definitely worth a watch. You might even get rewatchability out of it. My next up from that is must see. And once again, that's more of a gut feeling. That's like, okay, this has got all the technical requirements and it really resonated with me in a way that I'm like, you gotta see this movie. And then the highest is like, watch ASAP. It's like firing on all cylinders. It was like so good on all technical respects. It didn't just resonate with me. It's like, I gotta sing its praises to everyone I meet. And to me, Challengers was pretty good. It didn't hit me on that deep level, but I do have a deep appreciation for what I see here. So just breaking down how my my critique scale works. And question of the week, if we're all done with Challengers.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Since you're such a huge sports guy.
Such a huge sports guy.
What would be if a studio came to you and said, I need you to make a sports movie, what movie would that be? And this could be any. It doesn't even have to be like the traditional big four. This could be any sporting thing that comes to your mind or competitive, whatever.
Well, my gut reaction was hockey just because I'm Canadian and that's the sport I do know most about, if any sport. My second gut instinct was chess because I fell in love with chess as a sport by watching Queen's Gambit. Like, I appreciated it as an intellectual exercise, but, like, the sporting aspect of it, that show really opened my eyes to how fascinating it can be on camera. My third instinct is just something weird that you don't usually see sports movies about. And because I'm a contrarian, I'm going to say...
Like lacrosse.
The national sport of Canada. For real. The real national sport.
That no one plays.
Fun fact for those of you who think hockey's the national sport officially, it's not. It's lacrosse. That's why hockey's the unofficial. I don't know. What are some weird sports? Yeah. Lacrosse, polo, golf, badminton. How about a table tennis movie? I'm really into table ping tennis. Pong. I have passion behind that sport.
Yeah. Air hockey.
Air hockey. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, what do they do? The ones in Russia, we just slap each other in the face.
Slap competitions.
It's like the big burly men. Yeah.
I mean, mind you, Forrest Gump got a lot of mileage out of its ping pong sequence. That was a big chunk of the movie. It was him learning to be the champion. So I think ping pong could be a cool one. I do have some passion for that. Screw it. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm gonna make a ping pong.
Someone at work asked me if Forrest Gump was a real person the other day, and I didn't have the heart to tell him.
Yeah.
I was like, sure, he was. All that amazing things he did, like invented the smiley face.
It's because the special effects in that movie are too good that... He's blending with these historical figures on camera. It's funny. It's great. Yeah, so what's your sports movie then?
I mean, my number one definite go-to would be hockey because I feel like in recent years, the only like popular ones that have come out recently have been Goon in terms of movie, but there's also the Shorzy show that's come out and that's more comedic based. I would love to do sort of like, I've had an idea for a while of like this dramatic, like just hockey guy who's trying to build himself up back into the main league. It's just been kind of like in the back of my mind for a while. And that's just been a thing that I just know. It's not like, oh, I kind of know it or I know about it. No, like I know hockey. Like I grew up around it. I played it for 14 years as a kid. I watch it every year. And it's just one of those things that I know about, and I know that I would at least do a decent project with it, or hopefully I will. But if I couldn't do hockey, like I held a gun to my head, I would try to do like a weird one. Like the actor in me says boxing movie, because that'd be kind of funny. It's always like, you got to do a boxing. Like for a while, it seemed like if you wanted to be like a main type actor, you had to do like sports movie, boxing movie, war movie. Like those are like some of the big threes. You're talking about rom-com, drama, something with guns. Like it was always something like that. But yeah, if I want to choose a weird one, what would a weird one be?
You're making me look up a list of weird sports right now.
Your mic's staticky again.
Oh. Well, it's probably going to be like that for the rest of the episode. I'm sorry. To you and our audience.
I'm trying to think what would be a weird one to do. There's too many soccer movies. Sorry, football. There's too many of those movies. And also, I don't think I could beat Ted Lasso, even though I haven't seen it, but I've seen the clips and it's just phenomenal things. I think it's been a while since they've done, well, football's not a weird one. Like, American football's not a weird one. But I think there's been a while since there's been, like, an actual good representation.
Here's of American a good one. Football. How about a volleyball movie? Volleyball, good team sport. It's popular enough.
Volleyball, yeah. Your mic is so bad. Your mic is so bad right now.
Sorry.
Yeah, volleyball. That's my pick, volleyball.
All right. Apologies for the awful audio quality for this wrap-up, but where can we find you?
You can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Plane Media. Also, check out the close-up with Ryan and Joe. Ryan's cringing. Check out the close-up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe, where I'll have my mic fixed, and we're talking about our latest leisure lists. Till next time.
Take care.